Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser, hanging out on this Monday. Jonathan Hutton going to join us at the bottom of the hour. A fun topic that I literally just came up with when we were talking about Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy Butler to me is a player that I know I like a lot. He seems to be maybe your favorite player in the NBA.
He's been one of my favorite players, and we forgot he was in Philly after Minnesota, and then he went to
Thank
Miami.
You, Ricky.
Which is when I really started to
He bounced
to watch
around
him.
For a couple of years, and then I remember him vividly with Chicago because I think growing up, obviously there was some guy named Jordan and some guy named Pippen that played for the Bulls, so I liked
them.
Have
you seen the conspiracy theory that Michael Jordan is Jimmy Butler's dad?
No.
Whoa. I got
That's a thing.
That is me. That is a thing. And I got into some YouTube videos and I
That's
believe
a rabbit
it.
Hole.
No, I believe it. You will watch the videos. Everybody, text line, help me out. DrumbleSonCountyHoney.com if you've seen it.
You will believe it. I might need to look into that. But anyway, the question is a player that probably doesn't get enough credit for how good they actually are that you really like. Like, I put Jimmy Butler in that category in the NBA. You had another one.
Jamal Murray. And I've had this argument with people, you know, we've seen a lot of these younger guys. Because the NBA draft is so unique, too. Because if you are, you know, a first, even sometimes a second-round pick, you are a factor immediately on a team. And the ability to be a superstar so early in the NBA is not crazy, whereas in the NFL it's a lot harder. We know how the NHL works. You know, you get drafted and then you don't play in the NHL for years. But the NBA is the one league that you can be a superstar really right out of the gates, which is one of the reasons I love it, because we follow guys in college, and then we can see them be a factor. I think Jamal Murray has been – well, first off, he had, you know, some injuries that kept him out for quite some time in Denver. But, I mean, this year, his comeback, and he's the right-hand man to Jokic. Like, obviously, Jokic is going to – he is the best player on their team. But, I mean, I think Jamal Murray is, you know, right there as, you know, that next guy who's very important and can be a superstar. I mean, he hasn't been on an all-star team yet, but – got drafted in 17, so he's still somewhat young, but I think he is a highly underrated player, and people are recognizing it now because of their postseason run.
Nick, is there somebody in hockey that stands out in this category, like good player but probably doesn't get enough recognition?
That's a good question.
Like, a guy that comes to mind is in the Cup final right now, Mark Stone.
Well, another one might be Patrick Hornquist.
Yeah, maybe at one time.
Well, yes, at one time. He's not going to play because he's had a lot of concussions. Who isn't? I mean, there's several.
How about nationally? UC Saros sometimes.
Well, sure. Yeah, I think that's definitely in our category.
I think Yossi is probably the only Predator that gets, like, just due.
Maybe at one time at Duchesne.
But not here.
But not here.
No.
It's an interesting
Forsberg,
conversation.
Somewhat.
Somebody on the text line said, Jordan was a lot of people's daddies in the NBA.
Who said that? That's good.
Henry, that was a good text.
Oh, Henry.
Henry,
okay.
On our text line.
I know Henry. Hi, Henry. That was good.
Also, a guy, too, who are not forgetting on the Heat, who can be back for Game 3 is Tyler Hero. I mean, he's been a guy who's been 20 points a game. He's also a guy who, you know, in the bubble – everybody was like, who is this guy, Tyler Hero?
We don't talk about the bubble. We forget the bubble.
Okay, well, whatever. And kind of fell off a little bit. But I really think it's an interesting question. Is there anybody in baseball who comes to mind?
That's what I was trying to
think. Like the Braves or I feel like the NBA, you know, just because their rosters are smaller, I think sometimes it's easier to think of people. Or even the NFL, I mean.
The Braves is an interesting one. I could put Austin Riley in that category. You know, he's been an MVP candidate. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to say with the Braves because I'm too close to it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Matt Olson. Maybe Matt Olson is someone that doesn't get – and, like, I – truthfully, am not. I mean, I like Matt Olson, but I'm still. He's not Freddie, and so that's mm-hmm. that's kind of like where I'm at with that. Still,
a guy who I'll say in the NBA while you think for a second, Chase, is on the Chicago Bulls. So, DeMar DeRozan. I mean, his lengthy career with the Spurs. Him. He's obviously getting a little bit older. The Bulls management and just all the drafting, it just hasn't been a good organization for the last couple of years as far as team structure, management, things like that. But, I mean, DeMar DeRozan, I've watched a lot of Bulls games recently, even regular season and things like that. But, I mean, he's such a dynamic player. They call him fourth quarter DeMar. I mean, he had some insane stat that broke a record by Jordan of like fourth quarter points or something last year. But he's a guy who I think in the league as a whole, LeBron was trying to get him to go to the Lakers, I guess, last year. But he's a guy who I don't think gets enough respect just in the NBA as a whole. Maybe he used to, but he's still performing at a pretty high level. And he's been in the league for a long time.
So, okay, I'll say this could be a stretch in baseball, and I think the only reason I'm saying his name is because of the team he plays for.
Okay.
Julio Rodriguez with the Mariners is like one of the top players, has been one of the top players every year, but because he plays for Seattle, I don't think people notice as much.
Well, and that sometimes is, you know, your kryptonite. You could be one of the best players, but oftentimes who picks at the top of the draft? You know, I mean, I know the lottery is a little bit different in the NBA and the NHL, but traditionally it's a bad team or a bad organization. And sometimes those organizations across all sports are ones you forget about. Like, I think, you know, the Mariners are one, you know, the Oakland A's are one that are forgotten about a lot. I always forget about the Orlando Magic. I mean, there are teams where you just kind of seem to forget about them in the grand scheme of things. They're smaller franchises, not big sports cities, but you don't talk about them a lot. Like Pablo Banchero from Duke, he's on the Orlando Magic, and I'm like, oh, I completely forgot about that because you play for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. I think a lot of times – but what's interesting is I don't consider the Angels to be a big team, but you know Trout and you know Shohei. You know, it just depends.
But they are like elite top guys. Like they are the faces of the MLB.
Right.
And they're on the same team, so that helps.
For now. They won't be much longer. But for now. I mean, you know, Judge, because he's with New York.
New York, of course.
Ricky says Dame Lillard. That's an interesting –
I like that one.
Because Portland is, you know – like if he was on – like if he was on Chicago – you'd probably notice him a lot more, even though the Bulls
are. The big sports cities markets, right? L.A., Chicago, even you could throw, I mean, obviously New York, throw Texas at Dallas, right? I mean, those are.
I'm trying to think of a good one
bigger,
in football.
Yeah, football's hard.
I mean, there's been times where we've probably said here in Nashville,
Derek.
Tannehill. Well, no, I think Derek gets his just due. The only thing that he hasn't won is MVP because it's a quarterback award. I mean, the 2,000-yard season, you could have made the argument he was MVP.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going is that year specifically just at the level he was playing at. But now, it was Rodgers.
Could you have said – could we have had this conversation 2 years ago about A.J. Brown? Or do you think that A.J. Brown was noticed enough around the league to be viewed as an elite receiver or a number one receiver? Maybe not elite, but
I like truly believe that he really started to get his like whether it be like notoriety, whatever, like this past year with the Eagles. Like I truly believe
because of the market,
because of the big payday, because it was a big draft day trade. He's playing with Jalen Hurts. You've got Devontae Smith on the other side, and of course they were the hottest team in the league, but I truly do believe that like this year he was taught, like they're like, and AJ Brown, like they're talking about him, like I mean he performed like he was literally a top five wide receiver in the league. But I think DK Metcalf sometimes in Seattle. Seattle's kind of been.
So that's a fair.
Right?
Fair one.
I was just thinking him and AJ, you know, yeah, we talk about them a lot together.
And, you know, the Seahawks have been. Have not been the Seahawks that they were 5-6 years
ago. They were a fun team last year just because of Geno, but they're not talked about like they were in the years with Russell, and they were in the Super Bowl, obviously. Pete Carroll's getting older.
Legion of Boom. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's an interesting subject. 615-737-1025. A player that maybe doesn't get enough credit that you really like that – you know, in any sport.
Put some respect on their name. And this conversation was sparked by Jimmy Butler. Because people are still saying, no, Miami can't do it. Miami can't do it. But Jimmy Butler shows up.
And Ricky with another good one, Aaron Eckler.
Oh, there, that is a good one. Did he just Google most underrated
is it Aaron
players?
Or Austin? You mean Austin Eckler?
Oh, it's Austin. Yeah, it's Austin Eckler. I recognize last
name.
Put
Aaron. Austin. Yeah. As soon as I said that, I was like, that is
you were like,
right.
Wait, that's wrong. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Austin Eckler's in L.A. too, but you know, does he get enough respect? You know, that football was hard. I mean, I know there's probably football may be the one where there's the most obvious answers, but
I mean,
they're not popping out.
You put a top four or top five like defensive player, and you probably could say that for almost every team. Like, you know, if you're a quarterback and you are good, you're going to be noticed. I mean, if you're Daniel Jones and you're performing at a good level, people are going to talk about you. You're going to get a big contract. But if you are performing maybe at the same level in a position on defense, you're probably not talked about at all.
Sean on my text line, driven by
ChaseMcCabe.com.
Yes, that's it. I want to see if you agree with this because I think I do. Jaren Jackson Jr.
That's a good one. You know, Memphis, so then you talk about the teams with, and this is similar to the Jamal Murray argument of Jaren Jackson Jr. He's on the Nuggets, Jokic. It's Jokic, 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 but he is performing at an elite level, similar to Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis. Here, it's Ja Morant, Ja Morant, Ja Morant, Ja Morant, so he doesn't get as much, but, and it's the same conversation we talk about with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was such a huge part of why they won so many championships. These players who might not be the star, like, they are so important.
Pip, the thing with Pip, and will always be the thing with Pip, and he's admitted it, and it's in The Last Dance, is he would get, and he gets credit. Like, nobody discredits that he wasn't a Hall of Fame player and that, you know, Jordan needed him and all that stuff. But There were too many times where there was evidence of him taking a game off or being pissy about something and, you know, half you know what stuff. And that's what I think hurts him in some of these arguments. And then just his attitude.
Well, I think a lot of it came from probably, I mean, working jealous. And playing with Michael Jordan. I also, though, do disagree with the fact that he does not get as much credit as he should. Like, he is a top player.
Yeah,
in
no, I'm saying he gets
NBA.
It. He gets it, but there is a knock on him of that.
Well,
there
it's
were
Jordan.
Right, and there were times. I mean, there's evidence. There were times where he got in his own way.
Yeah, now look at modern day NBA load management.
Like there's
load
times,
management.
There's times where I see an interview even now with Pip, and I'm just like, dude, shut up. Let's let it go. Like, yeah. You're
I mean,
right
we
there
saw,
in the
we saw the one the other day.
Yeah, I know.
But some people, I mean, some people like are like, no, Jordan could have done it on his own. But
he might. I mean, I don't
he
know.
He didn't. Like,
right,
that's,
he didn't. And that's always been the thing with LeBron is, like, you got to give, like, in Cleveland, like, he needed help. And he finally won one because guess what? He got
Kyrie Irving.
So
pretty darn good player, I'd say.
And he's probably about to get him again in L.A., so. We will see.
Spicy.
I know. Coming up next, there were a few texts on Will Levis with our previous conversation. We'll talk about that. And then Jonathan Hutton at the bottom of the hour here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Keiser, Jonathan Hutton coming up in just a few minutes. I've been on a huge Elton John kick lately. So
I love Elton. Have you seen Rocket Man?
I have.
The movie's great. The fashion, great in there.
Yeah. And I've I'm blanking on the actor's name, but he did a fantastic job playing Sir Elton. By the way, real quick, an aside, you know, Friday night was karaoke night. We have found a new go-to song for me.
Okay.
Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger.
That very much fits every bit of you.
Oh, it's...
So not only a great song that everybody should know or does know, will sing along to, but it fits the vibe.
My friends were like, you have to do... They wanted me to do it again because I just got so into it. And like, I walked off the stage, I'm like sweating. And I'm like, yeah. I wanted to do the Risky Business, the slide in, like with the piano. You know, Tom Cruise. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's a good movie.
I'm picturing you too.
Oh, yeah. That piano hits and it's just bam, you're ready to go. Few people were texting in on our earlier conversation. By the way, Henry on our last segment said Robert Horry was a classic example of a guy that was huge for his team but not the star. That's spot on. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of all the teams that he played for. I think that is spot on. But
especially as much as people like to say that stars can do it on their own.
Yeah, I mean, they need
you
help.
You can't. This is why they're team sports.
Right. I mean, and, you know, like, LeBron's a guy that, like, you don't have to coach LeBron. LeBron knows what LeBron will coach you. LeBron
he will
knows,
grab the whiteboard.
you roll the ball out and LeBron's got it. Like, he'll draw up the play. But he needs help. I mean, he needs those role players. That's why, you know, he wins the championships in Miami because he's got D-Wade and Bosch. He wins the championship in Cleveland because he's got Kyrie. And even Kevin Love too, you know, he was there too. Shout out Kevin Love.
But he's a guy too. I mean, not so much in his career, but he's, you know, his outside shot, like a guy who can be a sneaky good asset to have. Like Duncan Robinson has been for the Heat in this postseason run this year and in the last couple of years.
What do you think about Ken and Waverly's text from earlier when we were talking about Will Levis? Do you think if and when the reins get handed over to Will Levis, I believe it's going to come with a coaching change as well. I think it's going to be the start of a rebuild throughout the entire organization. He's only going to take over the quarterback job if the Titans are losing. At that point, I think it'll be time for a coaching change also.
Whoa there. Whoa, Ken coming in hot on this Monday morning, June 5th, 2023. Wow. Whoa. I can't say Mike Vrabel is on the hot seat. And even if they don't have that great of a season, I don't think I can say then he would be on the hot streak. I mean, if they win on the hot seat, I said streak. They win like two or three games, which I highly doubt. I believe that they will win more games than that. I mean, that's a drastic different situation.
I'm going to disagree with him.
But let's also remember, we've talked about the power dynamic. I mean, the person who would have to fire him would not be Rand Carthon. The person who would have to fire him would be Amy Adams Strunk. I don't think that, you know, especially with hiring a new GM, like you have to realize and be realistic that you are in a rebuild. You did just draft a rookie quarterback. You are building a new stadium that's supposed to be open in 4 years, you know, and you have had the relationship with Mike Vrabel and have seen what he's been able to do with your teams. But then again, J-Rob didn't get a second chance. J-Rob didn't get a chance to, first off, draft a quarterback or try to, you know, rewrite his wrongs when it came to some of the draft picks that he missed on in the A.J. Brown trade, right? Like, that happened, and we all know the history of the plane from Green Bay and what happened after that. So as much as I can sit here and say that, we truly don't ever know. If you would have told me that J-Rob got fired mid-season at this time last year, I'd be like, what are you talking about? But it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. I will say, if that happened, you know, Jim Irsay'd be like, Shane Steichen, thanks for your time here. Mike Vrabel.
Exactly. I mean, look, if you fire him,
he will get picked up.
He'll have a job in 5 minutes.
Oh.
Like, he'll have a head coaching job in 5 minutes. And so,
100%.
You know, we can say what we want. Like, there are times where I don't agree with everything he does. I don't agree with sometimes when he's got his attitude, but he's a damn good coach. And that needs to be recognized. And I think most people recognize
Coach
that.
Of the year.
Right. You know, I disagreed with the John Robinson decision. At the time she made it, I disagreed with that decision. And I think that contributed to ultimately their downfall of the season. Now, there were other contributions.
Of course.
But that certainly contributed to it. And it's nothing against Rand Carthon. I like Rand Carthon. I think he's got potential to be a good GM. But they had a winning record. He had never had a losing season. And you fire the GM because you, quote, unquote, don't like the roster right after the guy he traded torched you.
Had a still a 90-something percent chance to win the AFC South at that
right.
time.
So
I agree with you, Chase, because
I don't think my point is I don't think she makes that same mistake again.
Oh, of
like, right. Of I think the only way she fires Vrabel is if there's multiple losing seasons.
Multiple as in next year on top of last year, or multiple
no, I,
as
I
in
think it would need
starting now.
Because look at the roster.
No,
the roster now is worse than last year because you've decided to get rid of some big contracts and in some ways.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
In some ways.
Some position groups are worse. Some are better.
Sure. But, I mean, you've unloaded some big contracts. You have a – okay, let me rephrase it. It's young.
Fair.
So it's a lot younger. And so there's still a lot of unknowns there. I think you can't hold that against the head coach.
No, and I think that was one of the main messages – when she didn't fire both of them, it was just,
yeah.
It was one of them. They were very much a package deal. You know, when J-Rob had the time to hire his guy, Mike Vrabel was his guy. He wanted him to be his coach. We talked about them as a package deal. But then when ownership realized that, okay, something needs to happen, we need to make a change, we still want Mike Vrabel. And we still believe that, you know, he can coach the teams he has coached, like he should have better rosters is basically what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, John should have had an opportunity to, you know, fix and maybe be able to mm-hmm. draft a quarterback because he came in after, you know, Marcus Mariota was already drafted. He never got a chance to draft his guy per se. But, you know, I think it was clear that, you know, we are choosing Mike Vrabel. And, I mean, we've talked about him having a hand in more of the managerial stuff moving forward and then him being a part of hiring Ran and all of that. I think his seat is ice cold. I don't think it's hot or heating up or anything like that because I think it's clear that, first off, like you want a rookie quarterback. So I just think
sure.
it's clear you're in a reset mode.
Coming up next, we talk to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, our weekly conversation with him about the Titans. We'll ask him about that. And plus interesting remark by a former Titan on Kevin Byard. We'll do that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Nick is bringing it today on the music. I like it. This is good. Good stuff. Join 102.5, 106.3, The Game tomorrow night for the night before charity's ride around. Featuring Saving Able, benefiting Souls for Souls. It's all a part of our golf tournament this week. General admission is $20, with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. That's all happening at the brand new venue, The Ballad East, next to the Gallison Hotel in East Nashville. Doors will open at 6, and you get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. So be sure to check that out. Again, our golf tournament on Wednesday. Really looking forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun. A lot of different celebs coming out, and we'll be doing our shows from there all day long. So going to be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll catch up with Hutton in a few minutes. But I saw this just a few minutes ago, this tweet so Greg Arias at SI put this out, but Keith Bullock, former Titan, great linebacker, tweeted about an hour ago. And he says, I think Byard shows up to mandatory OTAs. Why would he skip? He didn't ask the Titans for anything. It's business. He's a veteran team leader that has never missed a game and loves to ball. He's going to come and remind the organization who he is this week. And he has the laughing emoji with it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I touched on in the first segment of this is him by not going to OTAs. He doesn't have to, but to Keith Bullock's point, you know, he will be there. He means business. He's a professional. We've seen that over the amount of time that he's been here with this organization. But not being at the OTAs was a reminder of, hey, I'm going to be somebody missed at OTAs, and people are going to ask about me, and all of that. Something I want to get to really quick.
You going to the breaking news?
Yes, Adam Schefter, Titans restricted free agent Tyrae Tart signed his second round tender for $4.3 million in time for the start of today's mini camp, his agents confirmed. So yep. We talked about that in the first segment, you know, big storylines heading into mini camp. That was one of my first ones of, you know, the value he has to this team. Got to get that tender signed. And now that's a big check mark, especially for, you know, the defense. I mean, we saw how much he was able to add to it last year, Chase.
Yeah. So that's big that they're able to get that done. So don't have to worry about that anymore. Also, the Colts have signed free agent wide receiver Brashad Perriman, formerly of the Bucks. That was not a huge move, but, you know, you're looking at depth receivers. That was one that was out there that could have been potential for the Titans. But I think it's big that Tyrae Tart has signed that tender. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, and to that point, Chase, too, this year for Tyrae Tart, I mean, I just think the incremental changes we've seen from him and the progress that he's had in Nashville, especially last year, signing this tender. I mean, I think he just lines up really, really well to get himself a long-term deal, whether it be here in Nashville or somebody else this upcoming season. So I think it's going to be a big year for him.
Yeah, I think I was just tweeting. I think he's due to get paid next offseason.
There you go.
I mean, I look for him to have – and that's going to be an interesting decision for the Titans. Like, if he does continue to get better and has another really good year for them, you know, do they pony up and pay him? Going to cost you more than $4.3 million. Mm-hmm. Or do they let him walk and he goes somewhere else? It's going to be a tough decision for sure. You can't pay everybody.
No, you can't. You can. I think this year, you know, we talk about how do you perform in your contract year? And could they do something where, you know, does he want to be here? Like, how important is being in Nashville and being a Tennessee Titan where maybe they could pay him, like, a little bit less than another organization or something? Who knows? Does he like playing? You know, of course, who wouldn't want to play with Jeffrey Simmons, right? Young rising star on that defensive front. So I think, though, him signing that, you talk about this time next year, even earlier than this time next year, he can put himself in a nice position to get a big payday.
So I agree with Keith Bullock, too, on what he was saying. I do think that Byard is going to show up tomorrow. Like we said earlier, I think he'll speak. I think he'll speak his mind, be honest, and then he'll move on. And then you know, it'll be all behind him. It doesn't look like he's going to take that pay cut, which that's his right. And he shouldn't. He's done a lot for this organization. Now, what it means beyond this year, you know, who knows? But I think he shows up and he addresses it, and then it's like, okay, now we're going to move on to football. But I love the line that Keith Bullock had of he's going to come in and remind this organization who he is.
Yeah,
and there's 100%. Like, he's the mayor. That's who he is.
Of course, because, you know, even for some of – I almost said rookies on defense, and I was like, wait a minute, they didn't draft any, so just kidding. But younger guys on the defensive side of things, I mean, just his voice to be back in that room and, hey, this is what I bring to this team. This is the leadership I have, another voice, another guy who some of the younger players can look up to. I mean, Roger McCreary said that he was working out with some of the trainers that Kevin Byard uses this offseason, you know, incorporating different things into his workout routine. So he's going to come back. And like you said, like Keith Bullock said in the tweet, he's going to remind people what he brings to this team, what he brings to this organization, and that he still has he's a loss when he's not there, not only on the field, but in the locker room as well. So I wonder, because I'm trying to think, we haven't heard from Kevin Byard since Rand Carthon confirmed at the pre-draft press conference that they asked KB to take a pay cut, which I was surprised. I mean, Rand Carthon came out and said at that press conference, he's like, yeah, we asked KB to take a pay cut. So he admitted it. So I'm sure that question will come up of, you know, where do we stand? And Kevin Byard, listen, he's a man of the media. He will give you an answer. And I'm sure he'll be like, yep, you know, it's business. Not only a sport we love, but it's also a business. And I'm here for the mandatory stuff and moving forward.
I just saw that random thing to pass along that I just saw, but I know this will get Junie's attention. So Scott Docterman, I guess, covers the Big Ten. The College Football Hall of Fame ballot is out, and he lists all these Big Ten players that are on it. And I laugh at Indiana quarterback Antoine Randle-L, who, of course, became a receiver in the NFL, yeah. but was a quarterback.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players of all time. And I didn't like the Steelers, but I always love some Antoine Randle-L.
I love it. He has, like, you know, when you talk about, like, iconic names in sports, too.
Yeah.
Like, Antoine Randle-L. Like, that is just a... It's a great one. It's a great one. Great
I don't
player
know
as well.
I don't know if he was quite in the category of what we were talking about earlier of a guy that didn't get enough credit, but he was certainly fun because he could throw the ball. I mean, he was a receiver, but I think he's a coach now too. With he's a wide receivers coach for Detroit. He's with
the Lions.
He's on the Lions staff.
That's oh really yeah, cool. He was because he was in. I think he was in Hard Knocks.
He might have been. Yeah.
What about the bus?
Jerome Bettis.
Do we think that he didn't get enough?
Maybe at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at one time, maybe he didn't get enough.
That's a little credit. Stretch. I just kind of wanted to say that. The bus.
Jerome Bettis. Yeah, I like the bus. But yeah, I mean, like Randle-L, his best year was he had 728 receiving yards. That was with Washington. That was after Pittsburgh. So I mean, he was good. Role-playing receiver.
Yeah.
Solid guy. Definitely would have wanted him on my team.
Yeah, for sure. No, so that's the ballot for this year? Hall of Fame ballot?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so
already coming out.
College football. If you've never been to the College Football Hall of Fame, which you were there last year, I guess, mm-hmm. for SEC Media Days, I highly recommend it. It's really cool.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, they have, you know, lockers with old jerseys and... It's very interactive, which I think is really interesting, and just there's places that emulate like tailgates and everything about college
football. When I went, you could
football.
Sit on the game day set.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can still do
no,
that.
You still can. Well, it was kind of different because there's Radio Row, but it is everything about college football you love. Pictures of tailgates and
yeah.
so many other things and jerseys and fans and traditions. It is awesome. It is. Awesome. I need to go another time when I'm not working, but
yeah.
from what I saw, it was so awesome.
Coming up next, Stanley Cup Final game number 2 tonight. Also, the Admirals back in action. We'll discuss that here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you on this Monday. Stanley Cup Final Game 2 coming up tonight. You can hear that starting at 6:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Over on 94.9 The Fan at 9, Admirals will take on Coachella Valley in Game 6. Must win to force that Game 7 and continue their season. You'll hear the end of it after the Cup Final tonight too, if time allows, since it's a late game. But Vegas takes Game 1, 4-2. As that series finally got underway on Saturday. It was evenly matched for a while, and then Vegas was able to pull away. Mm-hmm. Got some big stops, got some big plays out of the guys that needed to do it. But as I said in my Superbook read, I do think Florida evens the series tonight because I think this is going to be a lot closer than maybe people thought.
Yeah, I picked Florida to win game one. That obviously didn't happen. It was looking good for a minute. For a minute, I was like, okay, you know, okay, Florida. And then, of course, Vegas pulled away. But I agree, Chase. I mean, I think this Florida team, I think Matthew Tkachuk has a big night. I think they even this thing out on the road and then head back to Florida. Florida is popping because I think whenever they head back for game 3, it'll probably be game 4, Miami-Denver down there?
Well, I mean, game 3 is in the NBA is Wednesday, and then game 3 in Florida – for the Cup is Thursday, so
oh there you go up. There you go, Florida. It not the biggest sports town, but I mean, how can you not with all of this going on right now? I agree though, Chase. I think they will even this thing up. I think, you know, when you look at the two series, whether it be the NHL or the NBA, I think you look at Vegas and the Panthers, and I think they look at least on paper a little bit more evenly matched. Like, we could see this thing go to 7 games, whereas sometimes I think And I hate to throw shade. I'm not trying to throw shade at the Heat, but, you know, you look at just Jokic and the Nuggets. I mean, they have been the clear best team in the West. And honestly, in the NBA for a better part of the entire year now, they're the clear favorite. But You hope the underdogs of the Miami Heat can put some respect on Florida's name. Florida, big sports town. Big sports town with the Panthers and the Heat. One of the last two teams standing.
Yeah. I will say I think that, you know, the conference finals for both sports were a little bit of a letdown. But I think with the finals, the NBA finals, the Stanley Cup final, we're going to get a pretty good series in both, I believe.
Well, we need seven games on both sides of things because then our sports watching enjoyment is going to go down a little bit because it's just going to get very thin. I mean, regular season baseball, if you're into it, listen, love that for you. I can't really get into regular season baseball all that much. If I'm going to a game, completely different. Like, I enjoy going to a game, but I can't really do the whole watching on TV thing for regular season baseball.
I mean, I will.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you're a baseball fan.
I watched some Braves this weekend.
Why are you laughing?
Because I what you were saying about baseball.
What I was saying about baseball. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, we've had this conversation of the – I mean, I guess we've got college baseball happening right now, which we haven't even mentioned today. Vanderbilt season comes to an end, and the Vols are still alive. Tough ending though for the Vandy boys.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things to hit on, a little hodgepodge as we call it, the best of the rest. Vandy season comes to an end in a heartbreaker. Fans had to wait 4 hours for a weather delay yesterday. They finally get it going, or get it resumed, I should say, and it was 1-1, and then they end up winning 2-1, can't get it back. So that was certainly a heartbreaker for Vandy. And I think Rex Rhodes and Robbie said it best this morning. It was kind of just a illustration of their season that it, you know, they'd get some momentum going, and then it would kind of stop, and the lineup would get cold, and it would just couldn't quite find that consistency that you thought they would. But sixth seed in the country, and they're out. They don't get the super regional and fall to Xavier, but still a good season nonetheless. And
win the SEC.
I mean, you just want to. I think that's the expectation that's been set. Is anything beyond going to the College World Series is a disappointment for them.
For sure. I mean, when your program has had the amount of success under Tim Corbin that it has, and you've been there so many times, of course the standard is going to be, you know, going to Omaha and, of course, winning it all. But I also think, too, something to mention is that, you know, at least around the SEC, the level of play in baseball has taken it up a notch. I mean, you talk about Tennessee's program on the rise, especially under Tony Vitello. I mean, there were eight SEC teams hosted regionals out of 16. So half of the regionals were hosted by SEC teams. So when you talk about the level of play, I still think that Vanderbilt, I mean, it has a big advantage when it comes to recruiting for baseball because of what their program has done under Tim Corbin. Vanderbilt's a great school. It's in a great city. To be a Vandy boy is such a high honor when you talk about playing baseball that I think I don't think that had a big thing to do it. I think it's just, like you said, the team wasn't one of their best teams ever, but just kind of stinks.
I hate seeing, you know, Bradfield and those guys, you know, not get to go where you thought that they might. But that's how it goes. I mean, that's postseason.
Yeah.
And like Tennessee, for instance, has not had the year that I think people thought they would. And they find themselves still alive. Mm-hmm. And with a pretty good path to Omaha, if I'm being
honest.
Knock
on wood.
So that's kind of where it could go. So there's that. There's another team that I am paying attention to, and I've been doing it for the last few weeks. And I think we're going to talk about them more because they have been really fun to watch, and they are making some noise, and that's Nashville SC.
Yes.
They win again against Dallas. Their unbeaten streak, I think, is at 8. Right now, 8 or 9. Hani Mukhtar playing like an MVP once again, could potentially go back-to-back, scores his 10th goal of the season on Saturday. That's a fun team. And look, I, again, don't pretend to be an expert on soccer.
Same.
I feel like I learned a little bit watching Ted Lasso. But
who didn't, right?
Football is life. They're fun right now, and they're making some noise. And you know what Gary Smith and Mike Jacobs, those guys have done to build that into, you know, over the last, this is what, season 4, I think, been pretty cool.
Well, and their fan base has grown too so yes. much. I had visited Nashville before I moved here and gone to a game, and you know, they would towards right before the year, right before they got their stadium, Geodis Park, I mean, they would fill the lower bowl in Nissan for those games. I mean, they have such a fan base. And then to go, I've only been once to the new stadium, but it is such a fun environment. And I think you need to go more because Hani Mukhtar had a hat trick in
yeah,
the game
I know.
That you went to. So Chase, you might need to you might need to go a couple more times.
Yeah. And you know, we need to get people on to talk about them. So would love to have some players on and coaches and let's do that because you know, I think that there is, as you mentioned, the fan base continues to grow, and the best way to grow the fan base is for people like us to talk about him. Nick Frazier from our staff has been out there and covered him. And
he does every Saturday with Junie and I, he does a NSC parlay, and he's been pretty good on those. He made quite a bit of pocket change for some of those NSC parlays.
Yeah,
anytime
no doubt.
Goal scorers, Hani Mukhtar is a good one for that.
No doubt. So definitely been fun to watch. And you know, I want to hear from more NSC fans as, you know, as that season continues to progress. It's a long season. I get that. But now that we enter the summer months, you know, playoffs don't start until the fall, right? So, I mean, it's a long road. But and I will definitely go back to Geodis. There will be more games for the Chaser at Geodis Park this summer.
Yeah, they got the Daddy Dog stands there.
They do. They do.
When you can have really good food at a sports game, which usually there is. So
Ricky, you're going to take
A+.
Me to another game.
Ricky's going to buy you a hot dog and a beer.
No, he's just going to get tickets and take me. He'll probably make me buy him a hot dog and a beer.
but not a bad combo. Okay. Not a bad combo.
That's okay. It's a good trade-off. But, yeah, congrats to them as they won this weekend. Sad news with the Titans that I meant to mention sooner, but Bob Hyde, longtime executive with both the Oilers and the Titans, was with the organization for over 30 years, passed away, met Bob several times. So he's a Tennessee native, worked for the Oilers, was kind of a right-hand man to Bud Adams for a long time, was an integral part in moving the team here. You know, Floyd always talked very highly of him. He was just a good, good, good man, but really sad to see that he passed away. Over the weekend, he was from Tullahoma, but had a lot of different roles with the organization, whether it was PR or most recently was community relations. So thoughts and prayers with his family, but Bob, a very good man and passing away. And so I know the Titans will do a lot to honor him. Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Jim Wyatt on at 9:30 yeah. a.m. tomorrow, and he'll speak on that.
Jim
as well.
Wrote a nice piece on him on TennesseeTitans.com. So we'll talk to Jim tomorrow at 9:30. That will do it. For us, but don't go anywhere. Caroline Willie and D Mace coming up next as they'll preview minicamp and much more, plus talk about Vandy season coming to an end. That's all next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.